Sunrose Yoga. Reveal and remember your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is a collection of audio recordings, videos, and writings about the practices of yoga. The podcast's mission is to share the teachings of yoga in an accessible way and to foster meaningful discussion about the practices. To learn more or to experience past teachings, please visit sunroseyoga.com. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is made possible by the generous donations of students and supporters. If you find this podcast useful or beneficial, please consider making a secure online donation by clicking the donate button at sunroseyoga.com. And thanks. Hello, my beloveds. Thank you so much for being here. This is episode 107, and it was recorded live on a Tuesday morning at the People's Yoga in Northeast Portland, where I teach. And in this class, which is an all-levels yoga class, we talk a bit about the wisdom in the waning moon and in softening. And we talk about the fourth pada of the Yoga Sutras, Kaivalya, or liberation, or overflowing, and a little bit of talk of the gunas. So thank you so much for being here. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you, and the outpouring of love and kindness that you share with me is at times overwhelming, and I'm so moved by it and so thankful for our connections. And so please do be in touch. If you have a story about your practice or you have a question and you've been wondering about reaching out, just do it. Absolutely do it. And you can reach me at sunroseyoga@gmail.com. or via social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that jazz. So if you've wondered about reaching out, please do. And I thank you. I'm getting ready to launch my Meditation Foundations e-course, Stay in the Loop, by subscribing to my newsletter. And I have a couple of spots, just a couple spots left for my retreat in September at Gunflint Lodge in northern Minnesota. It is going to be super delicious. Amazing opportunities to connect with the landscape outside of ourselves as well as the landscape within. So if you have questions about that or want to learn more, please do email me, sunroseyoga@gmail.com, or register at sunroseyoga.com/retreats. Thank you, my loves. Jai. And so in this time since the full moon, in this waning period, we have been talking about that and talking about the usefulness of that time, you know, after the peak, you know, after the longest day of the year, the days start to shorten again. Isn't that how it goes? Yeah. And like sometimes we'll notice that like we reach that point and it feels so good to just dial it back a little bit. And sometimes, rather than dialing it back a little bit, it feels like we're just like falling off a cliff and we can't get out of bed. Or maybe I'm the only person who ever feels like that. And so we've been sort of working with the idea that, You know, even as the moon becomes darker, it's still the same moon. The moon is all there. The Yoga Sutras talk about that, that, you know, in everything, there is all of its potential at any given time. And so it's been really sort of useful for us to use this time as the moon wanes, as things, you know, darken in a sense, to become more interested in potential. And so I have my new harmonium with me today. Yay! And we have a way of beginning by making sound. And I thought that today we could make some sounds associated with one of the archetypes of this, like, waning time. Dhumavati, the dark moon. She rides in on the crow, sort of like dark smoke, mystery, potential. Sometimes that disappointment of, like, being just after the longest day of the year. So the sounds that we make are some seeds, like Om, Dum, Dhumavati, and then Swaha. Swaha means I bow to. So I bow to that part of myself that is, you know, the potential of the dark moon. And our rule for making the sounds is always not to worry, especially if we think we might be tone deaf or if we think, like, I didn't catch those words, what? We make the sounds in our own time and in our own way. So we don't need to be singing together to be singing together. I'll play some notes, but don't feel obligated to sing them. Bhakti. So in the body, we'll begin sitting in an easy cross-legged shape, maybe Sukhasana. You might have your bum elevated, you might not. And we'll start with some easy sort of wimpy side bending. And you might walk or slide your right hand over to the right. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like the farthest you can go. It could even be like pretty close to the body. And you might bring your left hand to your hip or to your rib cage. Or you might reach it up toward the sky or overhead. And at the pace of your own breath, you might exhale and round your back. And inhale and arch the back. And we'll do that a handful of times. You know, letting the instruction be ambiguous for a reason. So that, you know, your body's response is the creative director of the movements. You might begin to notice the less obvious parts of your body. You know, you might begin to notice the parts of the moon that aren't illuminated. And in time, we'll find this sort of like moderately tipped over but neutral spine shape where you're neither rounded nor arched. And let your neck and head find a position or a station where you feel no new tension is created. And you might turn the palm of your left hand to face the left. And as you breathe in, you might reach that left hand a little bit closer to the sky and let that draw your torso toward upright. And as you exhale, release your left arm down. And you might rest the backs of both hands on your legs and just notice what you feel. And before we go to side two, we'll change the cross of the legs so that if the left was in front, now the right is, and vice versa. And then we'll start to either walk or slide your left hand out toward the left, bringing the right hand maybe to the hip or to the rib cage or toward the sky. And you might let your exhalations round your back and your inhalations arch your back. Just noticing how that plays out in your body. Sometimes it feels like the full moon has all the answers. Like you can see everything it is. But as the moon darkens, you know, there are more questions and our curious nature can thrive there. And in time, we'll find that sort of tipped over but neutral position. Easy in the neck and the head and the shoulders. And we'll turn the palm of the right hand to face the right. You might notice the aliveness in your hand. And as you breathe in, you might reach that right hand a little bit closer to the sky and let that action start to draw you back toward upright. Exhaling, releasing, and then pausing. And in your own time, in your own way, we'll move toward all fours, hands and knees. You can do that by, you know, rolling over your shins or drawing your knees together and moving in pieces. And we'll start by being really thoughtful about the placement of our body and the contact that the hands are making with the earth and the knees are making with the earth. And for the most part, the hands are stationed slightly wider than the width of the tops of the shoulders. And for most people, feels easiest in the wrists if, you know, the index fingers are parallel to each other, or if you had an invisible finger between your index and middle finger, if that space was parallel. We'll breathe in and maybe grip the fingers into the floor as you lengthen the spine, maybe drawing the belly button a little closer to the back. And as you breathe out, start to move the hips toward the heels and the forehead toward the floor, Bhaktasana, devotional. And as you breathe in, we'll start to slowly draw the torso back toward table, all fours. And as you breathe out, we'll tuck the toes under, we'll move the hips toward the heels, and from there we'll start to lift the hips toward downward facing dog, Adho Mukha Svanasana. And you might decide to stay in downward facing dog. You're also welcome to move through that tiny little flow, or that mini vinyasa, a couple of times, just so you're like, you know, feeling your way into your breath, feeling your way into your body, feeling your way into wakefulness. And letting, you know, like curiosity be your guide. You might try new things like shrugging your shoulders way up near your ears and then softening down. You might try shining your sitting bones toward the sky and then softening a little through the sacrum. And as it comes to you with a breath in, you might step a foot forward. It doesn't matter which one. And as you breathe out, step the other foot forward, coming to Uttanasana, standing forward fold. Let the width or the distance between your feet be comfortable. So they can be closer or they can be farther apart. Let the crown of your head be heavy and the back of the skull be soft. So, you know, we tend to walk around sort of like the full moon in our heads, where we're like, I know what this is. What if we open ourselves to the possibility of like letting, you know, our head sort of expand into the black of night. And there's nowhere you need to get to. Just let your arms dangle, let your head dangle. Very nice. And so today we'll work a bit with, you know, engaging parts of the body that might be less obvious. And we'll start that now. What if you sent the message to your glutes, to your booty muscles, to engage? And just notice what that feels like and what else engages. And then relax the effort of that. And what happens if you send the message to your quads, to the tops of your thighs, to engage? Remembering that, you know, yoga is happening a lot of the times in places where it looks like nothing's happening. And we'll relax the effort of that. And with a breath in, we'll press the feet into the floor and bend the knees slightly, and we'll start to roll the torso, the spine, all the way toward upright. And you might continue that action by sweeping the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky, and exhaling the hands to the heart. And just pausing. And what if you're like in the quiet of our simple stance? You sent, again, like a message to some muscles. Like, let's say, what if we told our forehead to engage? And relax the effort of that. And what if you sent a message to your calves, like the big muscles in the backs of your calves, to engage? And relax the effort of that. And let's relax the effort altogether of standing and let yourself just be a little bit softer everywhere. You might even sort of shake things out or untangle, rattle some bones. And so we'll position the body now so that your heels are maybe right below your sitting bones, unless you're, you know, accommodating some widening through the pelvis due to a growing baby, and you might take a wider stance. Let the tailbone be heavy, and let your belly start to engage to protect the mid-back. Invite the heart to bloom, and find that sense of ease in your neck and head. And as you breathe in, we'll sweep the arms out to the sides, reaching the hands and fingers up overhead. And as you breathe out, we'll turn the palms to face away from each other, and we'll bring the arms down until they're about parallel to the earth. And as you breathe in, we'll turn the palms of the hands to face the sky and reach the fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, turn the palms away from each other and bring the arms to about parallel with the earth. And we'll do this a handful of times, just becoming curious. Making tiny shifts, you know, maybe to the contact that the feet are making with the earth, or the position of the neck and head. And the next time or two that you exhale, we'll release the arms all the way down to our sides. Relax the effort. And notice what you feel. So we'll do a variation of that one more time, where we'll breathe in and press the feet into the floor. Sweep the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, turn the hands away from each other. Bring the arms about halfway down, and we'll pause here. And you might feel the connection between your feet and the floor. You might invite the tailbone to become a little bit heavier. And as the heart becomes a little lighter, the belly might start to locate the back of the body. Now, what happens if you enliven through your hands a little bit? And what happens if you let your shoulders settle? Like, not try to wrench them into anything, but just settle. We'll turn the palms to face the sky, and as you breathe in, reach the fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, dive forward to Uttanasana. And at the pace of your own breath, for a handful of breaths, we'll breathe in and come up halfway, Ardha Uttanasana. And we'll breathe out and fold. And do it at the pace of your own breath. And let your breath, let your lungs be the creative director of the movements. Like, as you fill, let the backs of your lungs sort of like direct where your spine winds up. Yeah, oh, cool stuff happening with the backs of the head. Back of the heads. And you might bring your awareness right to your belly button and notice what's happening there as you lengthen and soften. And maybe the next time or two that you exhale to the forward fold, we'll pause there. And if you allow your grasp on the shape to be loose enough, you'll start to notice like how much you move anyway, just by breathing. And with a breath in, let's step the right foot back, and we'll find a lunge. It can be a high lunge or a low lunge. So depending on you, your right knee might be on the earth or it might be lifted, and both are wonderful. For safety, the idea here for alignment is that the front shin comes no closer to earth then perpendicular, then 90 degrees. If you like, you can support your hands on blocks or the top of the thigh. We'll begin by letting the tailbone find a little bit of heaviness and inviting the belly to move toward the back. And you might find as you do that, you feel a slight weightiness to the lower part of the body. As you breathe in, you might allow the heart to bloom and let some softness happen everywhere. With a breath in, we'll sweep the arms around and up overhead. And as you breathe out, turn the palms away from each other and bring the arms toward parallel with the earth. And we'll breathe in and lengthen the body from the right heel to the top of the head. And as you breathe out, let softness happen everywhere. We'll breathe in and reach the fingers toward the sky. Breathe out and soften. We'll breathe in and reach the hands forward and down toward the earth. And as you breathe out, we'll step the right foot forward to meet the left. Uttanasana, standing forward fold. And what do you feel? And as it comes to you with a breath in, we'll step the left foot back. High or low lunge, do what feels right. And again, your hands might find their way to the blocks or to the top of the right thigh as you sort of get organized here in the body, engaging the left glutes to support us through the pelvis, letting the tailbone be heavy, the heart be light, and the belly start to locate the back of the body. And we'll breathe in and sweep the arms around and up overhead, turning the palms away from each other, breathing out, bringing the arms to parallel to the earth. Let there be softness in there. And we'll turn the palms of the hands to face the sky, and with a breath in, we'll reach the fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, let your shoulders sort of settle. We'll breathe in and reach the hands forward and down toward the earth. And this time, as you exhale, we'll step back to downward facing dog or something like it, like puppy or dolphin or anahatasana. Somewhere where you can just luxuriate in the length of your spine. And you might try some things like bending the knees or bending the elbows. Or lifting the heels or lifting the toes. Try something less obvious. You know, let it be an exploration. Maybe you've done this pose 10,000 times in your life. Maybe 1,000, maybe 100. But you've never done it this time, except for right now. So it's brand new. Everything about it is new. As it comes to you, we'll step the left foot forward between the hands. We'll lower the right heel down to the earth and we'll rise up to stand in preparation for Warrior One, Virabhadrasana One. So in general, the points of the hips are facing the front of the mat, but try not to get like too worked up about that. So you might do some widening between the feet or some changes to your stance depending on what ends up feeling right. We'll breathe in and sweep the fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, let's turn the palms away and bring the arms down halfway as you bend your left knee. And you might do that a couple of times. And what would happen if you did it, you know, like at 95% of the effort that you're doing it now? So you let a little bit of ease move in there. A little bit of softness. A little bit of fuzziness. Like you can't really see a whole lot of the moon. And you might continue to do that. You might just for like a little challenge to yourself think, okay, what if I then go 95% of where I am now, and 95% of where I am now.
And then maybe over the next couple of breaths, you decide to sort of, you know, saunter into this shape with the fingers reaching out. Let the tailbone be a little heavier. The belly starts to find the back of the body. So as your heart blooms, you start to notice that this is less of a back bend in our low back and more of a shine in our upper back. Yeah. And from here, let's inhale and start to straighten our front leg, and exhale and release the arms. We'll turn the left toes to face the long side of your mat, so your feet are parallel to each other or heels are angled out slightly. Now, if you happen to be nursing a hamstring injury, is anyone right now? Okay, good, then I'll just scratch that next instruction. Good. So from here, engage your booty and notice what happens. No one is looking at you. Not even me. I'm staring at the floor right now. And relax. And then send the message to your quads to lift your kneecap. And relax. And can you send a message to the front of your calves, to your shins, to engage? And relax. And can you send a message to your calves, your big calf muscles in the back, to engage? And relax. And we'll bring the hands either to the hips or to the sacrum. And as you breathe in, let yourself grow long from your heels all the way beyond the crown of your head. Engage the bum, engage the booty, the glutes, and we'll start to hinge forward and notice what happens. Ah, tricky. We'll relax that effort and engage the quads, lift the kneecaps, and continue to hinge and notice what happens. So you might pause at about parallel to the earth. And here, now that you're tipped over, send another message to your glutes to engage. We'll tuck the chin ever so slightly. And soften the heart a little bit. Soften it toward the earth. Now, if the floor is within easy striking distance of your hands, lower the hands to the floor, right below the shoulders. But let the spine continue to be long and engaged. And as you breathe in, find yourself growing longer from your tailbone to the crown of the head. And as you breathe out, let there be that sense of softness everywhere. Maybe the knees bend a little bit. And we'll breathe in and press the feet into the floor, bring the hands to the hips, and start to rise all the way up towards stand, slowly using your legs. And as you breathe out, relax the effort. Now, we might call this like little league standing in the outfield. What am I doing? Pose. And from here, we'll turn the toes out and bring the heels in. Feel the contact the feet are making with earth. As you breathe in, we'll sweep the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And this time, as you breathe out, we'll turn the palms of the hands to face forward, bend the knees, and bend the arms at the elbows. And we might do that a couple of times, inhaling, rising up, and exhaling, bending. noticing what you notice, like you're doing it right. So now what do you notice about the shapes? And you might, the next time that you exhale and bend, pause here, you know, for two or three of your own breaths. And during that time, you might again send this message to your glutes to engage. And it's just an exploration, a noticing of what happens. And when you've taken those breaths, you might inhale and come up. And exhale, release the arms. And again, come to no effort. So you might turn the toes to face forward and just sort of like rest in the results. And so from here, we'll turn the left toes back toward the top of your mat. And we'll reorganize the body. So you kind of angle in the right toes. And as you breathe in, we'll sweep the fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, come into your fullest expression of Virabhadrasana 1, Warrior 1. And as you breathe in, reach the hands forward and down toward the earth. And breathe out to down dog or something like it. Puppy or dolphin. Anahatasana. Bhaktasana. And with the breath in, we'll step the right foot forward. That can be from down dog or table, whatever supports you in your movements. And you might scooch your left foot forward one scooch before lowering that heel down toward the earth and rising all the way up to stand in preparation for Warrior One on the second side. So we'll bring the fingers toward the sky. And with your exhalation, we'll turn the palms to face away from each other and bring the arms down toward parallel with the earth. And we'll do it a handful of times, like feeling your way in, feeling your way out. Remembering that if along the way you feel like, oh, dang it, I wish I had not taken such a big step there, or, oh, like something's not right, change it. It's not a show. We have awesome floors in here, but it's not a stage. And notice things like your toes and how they're interacting with the world. Notice the spaces behind your ears. And maybe the next time or two that you're exhaling into the bent-kneed version of the shape, we'll stay there. We'll pause. And we'll notice the contact that the left heel is making with the floor and the line that that connection makes through the entire back of the body. And you might let your belly button move toward your spine as your heart blooms. Bringing a little bit of the back bend to the upper back. Nice. And softness. Can you come to 95%? 85%? We'll turn the palms of the hands to face the sky, breathing in, reaching the fingers up, straightening the right leg, and breathing out, releasing. And we'll turn the right toes to face the long side of the mat.
angling them in slightly, maybe the toes, that is. Feel the contact that your toes are making with the floor. Something that can be useful is like noticing each of your toes and like looking at it and feeling its contact with the floor. You feel your heels. Let the tailbone be heavy and then engage the glutes, engage the bum, the booty. And soften. Engage the quads. We'll bring the hands to the hips or to the sacrum. And with a breath out, we'll start to just tip over at the hips, hinging from the hips, maybe bending the knees a little or a lot. And when you arrive, you're sort of like halfway toward the earth, to where your torso is parallel to the earth, start to engage the glutes, the bum, the booty again. Maybe lift at the kneecaps again as you bend your knees a little bit more, tucking the chin. And maybe bringing the hands right below the shoulders to the earth or to blocks. And this time we'll let some softening happening. We'll let the head become heavy, the shoulders become soft, the chest and the belly become heavy. And with a breath in, we'll press the feet into the floor, bending the knees, bring the hands to the hips, and we'll use the strong legs to draw the torso and then the body toward upright. And relax all effort. We'll turn the heels in and the toes out. Inhale the fingers toward the sky. And as you exhale, bend at the knees and the elbows. And you might find it useful to do that a couple of times, rising and settling. And getting a little bit softer. And as you breathe in, we'll rise all the way up. We'll breathe out and release the arms. Bring the legs back, just sort of in between. And pause and notice what you feel. And we'll turn the right toes back toward the top of the mat. Angle the left foot. Breathe in and reach the fingers toward the sky. And we'll breathe out and bend the knee and come into your fullest expression of the shape. Where you feel the back of your head, the soles of the feet, the nail beds are singing, yes, this. And with a breath in, we'll reach the hands forward and down. And with a breath out, we'll press back toward downward facing dog. And from downward facing dog, we'll inhale and lower the knees to the earth. And as you exhale, move your seat back to sit on your heels. Vajrasana, thunderbolt, and we'll be here for a few minutes. So if you like to have something between your feet for support, I can't see everyone in my spot.
And so we'll let ourselves like really sit back into the sitting bones, which sometimes feels like we're slouching to start, and that's okay, that's normal. Invite the belly toward the spine, not like a sucking in, but a protection of the mid-back. And let the heart bloom, and that sort of like naturally reminds you of your elegant spine, your elegant length. Allow the eyes to close. And as the eyes close, and as we've softened into the seat and relaxed into our natural, gentle length, you might become aware of your breath. You might become aware of the miracle of breathing. We'll just get to know this breath that is always with us. Noticing how your belly opens up as you breathe in. Just becoming curious about the parts of your breath, the phases of your breath. Maybe bringing your awareness to that little tiny pause between the end of your breath in and the beginning of your breath out. And between the end of your breath out and the beginning of your breath in. And there's no need to force anything. There's no need to change anything. We're just noticing what's already there, what's already happening. Notice how your breath responds to your attention. And notice how those little spaces, the kumbhak, how they respond to your attention. Our breath is like that waning moon, like once we start to notice it, a whole new world opens up. And we'll start to relax the effort of focusing on our breath. And just let yourself sort of feel breath moving through your body. Taking a wider angle view of our breath and our body and where we happen to be sitting in space right now. And we'll start to relax the effort altogether. Holding our attention, of holding this seat, to open the eyes slowly. Letting sight return to you just in the way that it does. And once you're back, you might move a little. We'll do this again as we do. Let's come down onto the floor, onto the back, with knees bent, and soles of the feet on the floor. Constructive rest. And you might inhale and draw your right knee in toward your chest. And exhale and extend the right leg toward the sky. And you might bring your right thumb to the point of your right hip and spend a couple of breaths inhaling and internally rotating the hip. Exhaling and externally rotating the hip. And so, you know, as we wrap our minds around this language, some of the effects of the hip being internally rotated are the knee and the toe pointing in, like a pigeon toe situation. And as you exhale and externally rotate, the knee and the toe will point out, like sort of like a duck foot. Let's see if you could feel the origins at the hip and feel what happens in the hip as you move like that. And as you exhale and externally rotate, we'll pause in that shape, flex the foot, and bend at the knee, bringing your ankle to the top of your knee. And just sort of like let the hip bloom as at the same time you let your sacrum become heavy. And we'll start to lift the left foot away from the floor, drawing the left thigh toward the torso, continuing to bloom through the right hip, continuing to lengthen through the spine. Now it might make sense for you to wrap your hands around the back of the left thigh or the top of the shin, the front of the shin. Continuing to send this message to the hip to bloom and to the spine to lengthen. And you might add a very slow sort of sway from the left to the right. Start to release this shape slowly, slowing and stopping the sway, releasing your grasp on your leg, releasing the foot to the floor, and then extending the right leg toward the sky and maybe shaking it out. And then lowering that foot to the floor and just pausing and noticing. And in time, we'll inhale and draw the left knee toward the chest,
And exhale, extend that leg toward the sky. Flex the foot and then do a couple of rounds of inhaling and internally rotating. Exhaling and externally rotating. And in time, you'll exhale and externally rotate the hip and bend the left knee, bringing the ankle to the top of the right knee. And if you're finding at any point that like being flat on your back isn't working here, you can do this pose slightly upright with the elbows on the floor, or even bringing your torso all the way up, bringing your hands to the floor. For our friends with growing bellies, that might be an eventual thing you might try. And in time, we'll lift the right foot away from the floor and maybe loop the hands around the back of the thigh or the front of the right shin as you sort of like continue this bloom or external rotation through the hip. And as you continue to lengthen through the tailbone. And as you sway slowly from the left to the right, you might find yourself becoming more and more fascinated with the interior landscape from the sitting bone on the left to the point of the left hip. What is in there? And can you find a sense of ease in the face? And the jaw. And the forehead. And in time, we'll start to let this shape go by releasing the leg if you have it, by releasing your foot to the earth. Again, extending your left leg toward the sky. Maybe wiggling, maybe rolling at the ankle. And lowering that foot to the floor. And you might just notice, like, what do you feel? And you might hug both of your knees in toward your chest and rock from side to side and sit and rock and we'll start to move in the direction of a shape of rest or integration. So if there are shapes that you'd like to make or that you need to make, then make them. And the shape that you rest in is whatever is restful to you. So it can be lying on your back or your side or your belly or sitting. It could be legs up the wall. Or some other permutation of any shape that is remotely restful. And if you find that the pull of sleep is still quite strong, you might keep your eyes just slightly open. And let your awareness rest in your breath as it blows over the body, as it blows over the earth. as it returns to the sky. Begin to take slightly deeper breaths, slightly more wakeful breaths. And notice just how much you move as you breathe. You might invite that movement to stretch and spread across your entire body. Maybe growing as long as possible. And then hugging everything back in toward the middle. And you might again sort of sway from side to side. And you might come to rest on your favorite side. Whatever side pulls you the strongest. And in your own time, in your own way, start to move back toward your seat. Your luminous seat. hands might find their way to your heart. And maybe the weight of the hands at the heart will remind you of your true nature, which is love. Thank you, all of you, for sharing this practice and for sharing this space. Maybe we'll end today just by saying, love is real. Love is real. Thank you, everybody. Ask if you have questions. Always tell me if you have answers or